this time on Kawaii-Fi Radio. Tifa is back from Korea.
I'm very open-minded. And
are you open-minded?
I was literally thinking the same thing.
Do you have iPhone 14 Pro Max?
The podcast grows old.
We just started high school? Oh, no.
I'm not ready for puberty again.
I'm hairy enough.
And we talk about the 100 meters anime film.
The style choices as well, like when they're running and then it gets all gritty.
Yeah.
Because of how much they're putting into it. Like, yeah. I appreciate conveying that feeling through the animation.
Kawaii-Fi Radio.
You are, and welcome. You tune in to Kawaii-Fi Radio, the podcast. We dive into the world of anime, manga, and all things Japanese otaku culture. I'm Kyle. With me is Aaron, and Tifa is with us on remote.
Hello.
Welcome back from Korea, our friend.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being back.
Yeah. How has your career been going? Career and a career. Anyway, this episode, we're looking at last year's amazing sports film. Now, don't tune out. Trust me, it's worth listening. 100 meters. Now, we all were kind of a bit like this. We're not massive sports fans here. Okay, yeah. let's state the obvious, right? You know, we're some of us are a bit overweight, some of us are, you know, a little bit unexercised. all of us are a bit unexercised. no offense, Tifa.
full of demons over there.
Yeah, demons and rage. That's how she stayed good looking, you know.
Yeah. We're gonna have to exercise those spirits.
We heard a lot of interesting things about this film, and it turned out to be quite exceptional. So we do want to share it with you. We think it's really worth it. But there's a lot, obviously, to cover in that. Before we get stuck into it, it's a new anime season. We've been watching stuff, so let's tell you what's on the TVs at the moment.
I have no idea how old I am or where I came from.
Daddy! Ohayou!
Hang time! I gotta go!
I have to know!
Hooray! I did the thing!
Oni-chan, nani wo miru?
What we're watching. All right, so clearly coffee hasn't done me any favors this morning. Aaron, what have you been watching?
I have been watching Snowball Earth.
Okay. What is?
What is Snowball
what
Earth?
Is?
Well, I know what it is, but you know, like for our listeners.
Okay, so it's a new anime out this season. I was kind of flicking through Facebook as you do, and like it, sometimes you get anime recommendations on there, and I'm very open-minded, and I saw this cool looking robot on there.
Are you open-minded?
I was literally thinking the same thing.
Do you have iPhone 14 Pro Max?
The Hongdae guy.
Hongdae
guy. Content.
Very good.
So I love myself a cool mecha.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a cool mecha design. I was like, okay, what is this? What are we getting into? And it's like Snowball Earth, airing this season. I was like, all right, cool. Gives me something new to watch. Because, I mean, obviously, it's the new season. We want to try out new things as well as the things that we've recommended. But this wasn't on my radar at all.
Oh, really?
Not in the least. So I popped open the first episode with a friend over and we watched it. I was like, hey, this is pretty cool. Watched the second episode. I was like, yep, this is going to be something that I watch all the way through. So basically, you guys have seen Pacific Rim.
Yes.
Yeah. You know the age-old kaiju versus robots.
Yes.
Are they drift compatible?
Well, you can be a solo pilot in this.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Oh. Yeah.
In fact, there's only one dude who's a mecha pilot, and his mecha is technically a bomb.
Okay.
A sentient bomb.
Oh, even better.
That doesn't want to blow itself up
because
it's sentient.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They made it sentient so that it doesn't need a pilot so that nobody's lives are at risk.
Oh.
Okay. It's getting interesting.
Yep.
How badly does this go?
Well, the creator's son ends up piloting him. He gets in the robot Shinji.
Yep.
And he turns out to be really adept at using this mech. Like, he gets the manual and he tries flicking through it and he's got no idea and he just pilots it. And he's got all these instincts that just naturally help him take care of the first kaiju they encounter, which looks a lot like a Godzilla form from Shin Godzilla.
Oh,
the, yeah. The axolotl one with the blood out the gills.
Ooh, yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And so there's a little bit of a time skip, and then it's like 10 years later, and the mech has gone through several forms. It starts off as like a sumo egg.
Yeah.
And then it ends up looking like Gurren Lagann.
Nice. Yep, yep. I can get behind that.
They're on this last-ditch effort space mission to save Earth because there's a huge swarm of kaiju coming.
Oh, they're space kaiju then.
They're space kaiju.
Ooh.
And things don't go well.
So you've really got my attention now.
And so he ends up having to go back to Earth, but he gets put in cold sleep and wakes up on Earth 8 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes back, the whole Earth is a snowball.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, Snowball Earth.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's just episode one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks like it's got a lot of potential. I've watched episode two as well, but like, I'll give you the privilege of enjoying that yourself.
See, I watched half of episode one, and then I realized my brain was too dead to actually process all the things that were going on at the time.
Yeah, I noticed that you were like oh, okay. Yeah. When I was explaining that, I was like, I thought you watched episode one.
I got halfway through, and it was my brain just went, nah, you cannot focus on this right now. So yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Like, we've been busy, and in my case, it's been lots and lots of writing and using my brain for work applications and stuff like that. So I'm a little bit behind on like the big animes that I wanted to watch, the ones that have like the really interesting or intricate storylines. I've gone very basic.
I don't think this one's going to be an overly complex one.
I feel like once they do the setup, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. It's just going to be a lot of robot on kaiju violence, which I am so down for. This is going to be problematic in 20 years when kaiju are registered as people. And we're going to have to be like, so we're non-racist. President Godzilla, please don't cancel me.
It's okay. Aaron has a license. It's fine. We're inclusive here.
Very inclusive.
Find out if kaiju on human violence is right for you. Consult your professional. Violence may be in different forms.
Enough Monster Hunter.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, look, pretty sure that was Crunchyroll as well.
Yes, Crunchyroll.
It looks really cool, as you said. And if you're
sumo egg as a base design,
yeah,
come on.
If you're looking for like your giant mecha and you're kind of been missing it, because we haven't really seen anything that really kind of scratches that itch. It sounds like it might.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, we've had the Gundams.
Yeah, we've had Gundam series, but like there hasn't been like a
new standout-y. Like, we had Back Arrow a few years ago.
It was only like 12 months ago now.
Yeah. No, it was longer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God, it feels recent, but
I'm pretty sure that's when we had different hosts on the show.
No, I don't think it was that long, but it was. You are right. It was. Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah, 2021.
Yeah.
Like,
it was a hot minute.
Like, you know, more than halfway back on the show. Man, I feel old.
Old?
Like, we're in year 7 of the podcast. Like, I don't think I've ever stuck with anything this long
in my
entire life.
We just started high school? Oh, no.
I'm not ready for puberty again.
I'm hairy enough. You're going to go super bald. It's like the hair comes back out. You're like, yes.
Yeah, it sucks it in from the chin.
Oh, God.
Now you can no longer grow a beard, but you will have hair for the rest of your life. Anyway, Snowball Earth, you can watch that on Crunchyroll. Tifa, you have been a little behind because you've been traveling and you've had quite a lot of work going on.
Yes.
So I think you said you were finally catching up on the live action One Piece.
Yes. Yeah. So basically, I didn't want to start anything new while I was traveling, but I had saved the One Piece live action for when we were traveling, so then I could watch it on the plane and things like that, which has been quite entertaining. But I have some problems. But they're very basic problems. They're very like, why is Sanji wearing that? Why is Zoro in pink board shorts? That kind of a problem.
That's not a problem. I encourage that.
So I'm just kind of watching
and
it. I'm
salmon.
Like, distracted.
They're salmon.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just like, wait, what? And all this other stuff, like, at least I already know the story. So then I'm just distracted by these bright pink board shorts that Zoro is wearing. And I'm like, what? What are
bright
those?
Salmon board shorts?
Sorry.
It's pink.
It's salmon.
Yeah, yeah. But I think they're doing
it's
a
pink
good
and
job.
You should be proud of that. And you're right. While you were away, we did have an episode where we were talking about the live action, and we've all been blown away by how well it's been done.
Yeah, I think the actors have been quite good as well. They really are committing to the characters that they're doing, especially the new actors for this season as well. I think they're all really good, really interesting. I have like a slight criticism with some of the editing. Like, I feel as if they don't give the characters a moment to breathe, and you can tell that they're like ending their sentence and they're having a breath out or something, but then it's immediately cut to the next person saying something instead of just letting them actually finish, like
let the sentence breathe.
Yeah,
actually, I can kind of see what you mean. I feel like that might be because of what happened with Cowboy Bebop, where they allowed too much room to breathe. When it came to the sentences, because like, for those unaware, I did a video showing how editing can fix most of the issues with the Cowboy Bebop live action. You can find that on the channel if you want to have a look. But the issue was is that they, like in Vicious's case, they gave him too many lines. They didn't make it impactful enough.
Yeah.
Same thing with the fight scenes. They let the fights go too long. It's the opposite with One Piece. Some of these fight scenes, it feels like they're too fast, where it doesn't allow the, I guess you could say, the technique of some of the movements to be kind of experienced. And that's not bad compared to what it was before, but it just kind of feels like maybe there's a little bit more refining that needs to be done for season three, because two's already better than one. Yeah. I will openly say that. Like, season one was great. Season two is exceptional.
I did enjoy watching Sanji commit animal cruelty. Just domestic violence on animals.
He's going straight for it too, and I think that's really funny.
He did not hesitate. He's like, let's go.
There's also, I'm sure you've probably seen it, Tifa, there's a brilliant behind-the-scenes video of the whole crew, including Chopper's voice actor, watching Chopper's reveal.
It's
so beautiful. Yeah. And you can tell that immediately Chopper's voice actor and Sanji's actor, I've got like a really good friendship already. And he's like, yes. That's what I wanted.
It's really good. We're getting somewhere really interesting.
At the end with Chopper on Zoro's shoulder, I was like, I can hear Makenyu internally fangirling so hard now.
It is so weird to see how, like, he's an exceptional actor to be able to do Zoro and be, it's like watching Teal'c from Stargate. Like, off camera, Chris Judge is the biggest, most warm, hyperactive, cuddly guy. And then on camera, he is stone cold. And it's just like, Makenyu, you have my utmost respect, man. Well done.
He's so good. They're all so good. I feel like they just really love their characters, and that really shows, especially like Inaki, who plays Luffy, who's like just a really hard character to do. And there have been some criticisms online where people are like, he needs an acting coach. Like, he is so good, but he could be even better, which I do like sort of agree. Luffy's really hard, but I think it's not him. I think it's some of the writing sometimes, because how does that translate to live action more so than like him doing a bad job or anything? He's doing exactly what the character would do in the manga and the anime, but I mean, it's just like, hard this to is translate. The thing.
Like, I don't think he's bad. No. He's just young. Like, a lot of them are. And this is the thing. Like, there are going to be, we're going to see him grow, and we already did. Like, he's grown exceptionally as an actor just over the course of season one and two.
I mean, a prime example of that is the Miss Sunshine Week.
Yeah.
Like, that was...
Like, he put on his acting chops for it, and it proves that he can do it. Maybe it's a case of direction. Maybe some of the... Because we know pretty much with anything where Netflix is involved in the production outside of just being a distributor, we know that they love doing their production house where they have a different director and writer for every episode sort of thing. Tomorrow Studios have kind of shied away from that since Cowboy Bebop and the mess that that was. And it does show, because there is more consistency in the tone throughout the show. But there are some episodes when you look at the who was on the writing cast for each of them, where then thankfully people are given a whole arc to look after. So the Giant Islands, for instance, the Little Garden, that whole arc was done by one writer. And well, not one writer, but you had a lead writer and a lead director who were in charge of the whole thing for that arc. But the other episodes interspaced had different directors and different writers in some cases. And because of that, you can tell there's a slight tonal difference. And I feel like those episodes are the ones where the acting doesn't stack up as well. So I would just say, get the person who's in charge of doing the directing for the Little Island arc and have them consistently for the rest of the show. Because they managed to pull the best out of the characters during that arc.
They really did.
That's true.
I mean, it helps a lot that, like Tifa said, the actors are really putting their all in. Mm. Like, the actor for Mr. 3 studied the English dub,
good.
The Japanese dub.
So good.
Because his kids are fans of it.
Yeah. Mm.
And then he put his own spin on it as well.
Yeah.
And, like, just the small details, like the wax on the fingertips.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Oh, my goodness.
That was so good.
Mm. Like, that wasn't in any of the prior material.
But it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like something that also, you pay attention to because he uses his hands so often as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then he's going to be M. Bison in the new Street Fighter movie.
Yeah.
What?
He's a great serious. Actor. He's so good. He as he soon is. As he was announced for this, I was like, oh my gosh.
I'm just really glad that for the Doctor, they went with Lena and not...
Yeah.
Like, we don't need big stars in this.
Yeah.
We're like, I mean, admittedly, she is a big star. However, she's not, her face
Jamie
is
Lee
not,
Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Yeah. I did not want her in it. I don't want any well-known Hollywood celebrities character role which has to return.
Like, comparison, Invincible, which we love Invincible. I love the actual story of Invincible.
I know
but
exactly
they have,
where you're going.
They have a huge problem where they have all celebrity actors instead of just voice actors, and all of their money goes towards that instead of animation, which is not great. It doesn't give voice actors a chance to show what they've got, but it also means that your money and your budgeting is going towards something it doesn't necessarily need to. So then when we go back to One Piece, the fact that they can use so much on their sets to have real sets is really amazing. It really gives a better element to the show.
I mean, it's
the wax cake.
Yeah. Like, there's so many things in that, in the One Piece series, that other live actions and other adaptations that streaming platforms are doing, especially like Amazon, Netflix in particular, could learn a lot from the way that One Piece has been handled at Tomorrow Studios. And I know we ragged on them after the Cowboy Bebop disaster, but it turns out there was a lot more going on in the background that we didn't realize. And now that information is available, we can see that the person who is the problem is gone. So that's great. However, you have a look at how Amazon has handled any of its high fantasy adaptations. So The Rings of Power, for instance, and Wheel of Time.
Mm.
The money hasn't been put on the right things. Rings of Power, first season in particular, the set designs look cheap because they spent the money on the visual effects and on the characters that they hired for single roles. And because of that, it felt cheap. And like, we won't go into the mess that is Rings of Power, because it was a similar situation to like Star Trek Discovery, where they aren't allowed to use stuff from the original timeline. So they had to make up their own thing, and therefore it didn't feel like it belonged in the universe. So similar issues there. We won't go in depth in that. That's a whole other topic. But at least with One Piece, they've been able to prioritize the look of everything, because in the first season, they were able to establish the characters, even though they were young, even though it was a start, they gave them the right direction. They had Oda directly involved so that he could help provide that guidance. And that has just given them so many dividends. And like that shows the difference when they're actually trying to respect the source material instead of trying to cash in.
I would also say that their biggest actor for this, which maybe not everyone would agree, but I would say is Makenyu, because he is such a big live-action Japanese actor. Like, he is a Japanese actor, and they needed someone for this character who was going to be specifically Japanese that would bring in the Japanese audience, not just because it's a Western adaptation. Yeah. So they needed someone they knew that Japanese people would trust to be really good and to kind of put a stamp on it and be like, this is also ours, but also a part of this, you know? And so getting someone who is well known in that field for that particular character, just one, worked wonders for them, I think. And it really like solidified that in like worldwide as well. While having all these other actors be almost brand new was really good. Yeah.
Yeah. I think as well, like, we saw there was that little bit of drama of like the cosplayer who was like, I should have been Ace. It's like, dude, you can't act. Like, I don't care how long you've been, you know, trying to get people in a campaign to support you to be it. If you're not able to act, you won't get the role.
Yeah.
You can't just look good. There are millions of cosplayers out there. you need to stand out. And that's what Nami's actor did well, because she was already acting. She already had a portfolio she could showcase. Of course they're not going to approach you if you're not an actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's like saying, oh, we just want someone who looks hot. You know, we'll put them in that role. And, oh, look, they're a weather presenter now. You know? Yeah.
Like, you can't just have models in there.
No, exactly.
It's going
to
die.
So, like, firstly, no, you didn't deserve it, mate. And secondly, no, you wouldn't have been able to do it because you would have ruined it.
Yeah.
And that's why you didn't get it.
Also, somebody like that that's vying so desperately for that sort of attention, as soon as he got on set, he would have been, like, sucking up to everybody. 100%. Causing a scene.
It would have,
like,
been really
fanboying.
Awkward.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nah, I think what they've done makes a lot of sense as far as casting so far. And I can't wait for season 3, which is apparently going to air
next year.
Start of next year.
Because they filmed back-to-back, which was really smart to do season 2 and season 3 back-to-back. Give them a little break, do season 4 and season 5 back-to-back.
Mm-hmm. God, I'm so pleased that they are. And I'm glad that they've streamlined the story a little bit as well. Like,
they've streamlined it a lot.
Yeah.
Like, it's
20 episodes of the live action versus 20 episodes of the actual anime.
We haven't even gotten to Nami's story yet.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if we've told you, Tifa, but Kenny's watching the OG One Piece animation.
Yeah, I was reading it at the same time, though. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I am tempted to go back and start again. It's so good. Like, Aaron's just like, I can't do that, man.
I did my time.
I did my time.
I'm good.
We'll move on from that. Obviously, that's on Netflix, One Piece Live Action Season 2. Two seasons are available. It's worth checking out. Like, and it is honestly probably the best way to jump into the One Piece story at the moment until the new animation adaptation of the first half comes
Not
in.
The Lego one, though.
No.
I'm interested in the Lego one,
but that's just going to be goofy because it's going to be all of...
Can you watch it and build Lego on the show?
I mean, we can't do that because that would be a copyright infringement on the show, on the Lego thing, because you can't stream it. But...
I misspoke. I meant, can we talk about it and build Lego on the show?
Yeah. We can get one of the One Piece Lego sets.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God,
do that as a special video. Yeah.
We'll do that over Christmas one.
Wait, in Korea, they had like these displays for all of the One Piece live action Lego things. They had like all of these columns displaying every single character. It was really cute.
Nice.
The Barati one looks the best.
Mm.
We'll have a discussion offline and decide which one we're going to buy with the Patreon money. Yeah? Alrighty. Now, on a slightly different topic, I've been watching The Klutzy Class Monitor and The Girl with the Short Skirt. It is airing this season. It is a rom-com. It is very much... kind of feels like it could be written by the guy who does One Punch Man. Like, it's got that and Mob Psycho 100 sort of styling. I really am enjoying it so far, and it's really goofy. Basically, I wouldn't call her a gyaru, but she's kind of... I mean, I guess she's technically a gyaru because of the fashion, if that makes sense. So she's constantly getting in trouble with the class prefect. Her name is Kohinata, but her first name is Poem, because her parents named her Poem for some reason. It's lighthearted, it's goofy, it's fun. Sakura Daimon takes his role of the school's public morals committee very seriously. Every day he's at the gate checking everyone's appearances, and he's constantly basically scolding Kohinata. She's a rule-breaking girl with bright hair and a short skirt, you know. And though she finds his constant lecturing annoying, everything changes when she discovers that he's actually a bit of a mess himself. He is not smart. And then you start to get to meet the rest of the the committee. Like, the health guy is just a muscle head and he's not smart. And then you meet the guy who's in charge of the library. When he's in the library, he's in his essence and he looks, you know, absolutely like, you know, a dreamy boy. But when he's outside of the library, he immediately goes back to a pudgy nerd. So it's like a magic girl transformation sequence to become, you know, like the really hot, like, you know, oh. With green hair, but then when he's outside of it, it's like, wow, your personality really took a tanking when he's outside of the library.
It's good lighting in the library.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, it's really good fun. It's really silly, very much gag comedy. You can tell that this was probably a four coma manga beforehand. Mm-hmm. So it's very much like short interspersed stories, sort of like Kaguya-sama Love is War, where, you know, they'll have like four different segments in an episode where they've got like the short stories, and then they'll have a longer story, and then they'll go back to little shorts, and depending on which episode you're
like
watching.
Pop Team Epic.
Mm.
I've never watched it, and I don't plan to, so...
Fair.
It's not my thing.
I liked the comics. I couldn't dedicate myself to the show.
Oh, is the comics different?
Well, it's the four-panel comics.
Oh, he's a four-coma. Okay,
yeah, cool, yeah. So it's very much a, ha-ha, cool. Anyway.
But yeah, it's really cute. It's really funny. Her friends are so sassy as well. I highly recommend it. Like, this was one that I thought could be okay, but I didn't mention it in the season like preview. But yeah, it is actually probably like the standout romance rom-com show from the season. Both me and Emma are just like, yes, this is fantastic. 10 out of 10. No notes. So yeah, pretty sure that one is... yeah, that's Crunchyroll as well. So there you go. Nice and easy. And with that, that's kind of what we've been watching. There's plenty more, but we won't drag
we'll
you into
that.
We'll
save that for next time.
For the next time. But before we do anything else, we need to talk about the film 100 Meters.
Wi-Fi Radio. You got the popcorn?
And a slushie.
I have a gold pass.
Shh, it's starting.
Cinema Club.
Alrighty. 100 meter dash, sir.
Flash, flash, 100 meter dash.
Exactly. Also known as Hyakuimu. It's a Japanese sports drama manga series written and illustrated by Uoto, and it was originally a one shot. And, it was then later serialized, ran from 2018 to 2019, and there's five volumes if you want to check out the manga. I wanted to go check the manga out last night because I want to know if the manga ends different from the way the film does. Mm. Because
the film ending was very abrupt.
Yeah, I knew it was going to happen. Sense. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, that's kind of how they did it with... it's a very common thing in Japanese sports.
It's the Rocky finish.
Yeah. Yeah,
but like, it happens a few times in the movie already where you don't actually, you know, get that. And I was like, oh, if they do that for the final one, and then they did it, and I was like, of course.
Because
you
it's
did.
Not about who wins no. for them. It is about the race. It is about of running course. So fast that your eyes blur because you've run out of blood. And nothing makes sense anymore. But look, so this is a film adaptation of the manga. It's really good. You can watch it on Netflix. And basically, it follows two different boys who both of them, one of them was originally into running and the other one kind of like gets brought into it by the main character. So you've got Togashi, who's a prodigious sprinter whose life becomes intertwined with Komiya, a socially isolated transfer student he introduces to sprinting, unknowingly creating his biggest rival. And that's kind of like where it starts. And then it kind of follows their journey from being kids to, you know, teens to high schoolers in the track club to then, you know, national competitions.
I noticed that whenever Togashi starts sprinting, he brings someone else into it and then they cause trouble for him.
Yeah.
It's like, cool. Oh, you like running? Cool. I'm going to teach you how to sprint. Oh, no. Now you're competition.
Bruh, it's Goku.
It's reverse Goku. It's, you don't want to do this, but I'm going to make you do this.
Fight me! Sorry, it's Vegeta.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the story focuses on Togashi. He's been the fastest elementary school student around for as long as he can remember. His speed makes him untouchable, and we are talking like he is like at the other end of the track by the time everyone else has hit halfway. He's bonkers fast. So there is nowhere his skills shine brighter than the 100-meter dash, and he's bored by the lack of competition. And he then decides to help train Komiya, who's the transfer student. You think there's kind of something going on with Komiya at home, but thankfully that isn't the case. It's just that he's kind of a bit of a dirty boy.
I thought that was hilarious, though, the fact that the whole thing with the shoes, and they're just like, yeah. Why don't you get new shoes? Oh, your parents don't want to buy you new shoes? Nah, they want to buy me new shoes. I just don't want them. Like, he's just a perfectly normal kid. Shoes. He's just weird.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they're his favorite shoes. Yeah. Probably a little on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Given how he runs, is probably a lot on the spectrum.
Well, not just that, considering how he views running as well, as we saw in kind of the last scene before the final thing. He's talking about the statistics and, you know, talking about those very hyper-fixated sort of focus.
Well, also how he engages with people.
Yeah. Like... this was so well done. Like, I wasn't expecting to be this engaged with a sports film. Like, and we've discussed this before. We're so used to watching Japanese sports stories where the series gets cancelled and they just end up losing.
Yeah.
And that's it. This felt well thought out, that there was a destination where they were heading to as far as the story's conclusion it goes. We know they were running there. but it felt... like there was genuine care, interest, and research done into the experiences people would have in these environments. Mm. The one thing we do really have to note on this is that there's a lot of rotoscoping in this. Now, if you're not familiar with rotoscoping, that's where they take film and then they draw those panels, the scene by scene, basically, each shot that you would need. Because of that, you then have a higher frame count per second in those scenes, which can look unnatural if you're used to watching just normal hand-drawn anime, because normal anime, it's about 3 frames per still, if you will. It's a slower process. It's really good, but it can be a bit jarring. It definitely kind of reminded me of, what was that film? A Scanner Darkly, because that did that years and years ago.
It reminds me of that one content creator who just uses a filter, and like he'll do it with like wizards and knights and stuff.
Oh. And I don't, like, know that one.
Oh, okay. He's done a bunch of Mega Man ones. That's how I know him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Of course.
I'm a simple man. I like my Mega Man.
I feel like it was kind of necessary almost to be able to get the realism of how this sport is and how someone runs, because like every person as well has such a distinctive way that they walked normally, so their run was distinctive as well, and I don't think you would have gotten that if they didn't approach the animation the way that they did.
Yeah, it can be a bit jarring because at the start, like when you're looking at the story as a kid, it is all normal hand animated, like, because, you know, they don't have to be that accurate when they're talking about kids running, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
but then, and this isn't saying the whole thing's rotoscope. There's just some scenes. And when you transition to high school in particular, that's where it becomes a lot more noticeable. But I actually think it's better for it.
Yeah.
I agree.
Once you get past that initial, oh, what's that? Because it kind of, the first time it kind of happens, I think, is when the guy's walking towards the camera where it's really noticeable and you can see his clothes moving.
Yeah.
And that just felt a little jarring. But once you get past that initial shock, it's like, wow, this makes it so much more immersive. It feels more real and grounded because of it. There are some scenes where you're a bit like, why did you rotoscope them walking down a street? That didn't need to be done.
Some scenes where it feels very Uncanny Valley because of it, but you get over it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah. Because at first you're like, oh, that didn't need to be there. You can...
Like, I mean, it does rely on the rotoscoping a lot. And in one of the big things of this includes what's referred to as a long take. And this is 3 minutes and 40 seconds long. It's made up of 9,800 frames. And this is like a long pan at the track before a race starts and everyone's being introduced. And it took over a year to animate just that scene. And it's like, damn. So this was, the whole thing was kind of looked after by director Kenji Iwazawa. Now, he previously did Ongaku R Sound, which was all done with amateur animators. Took him 7 years to do it. This is the first time he's working with industry professionals, like experienced animators, which is why the turnaround time on it was a lot shorter. It was still long. It still took him several years to work on it. They didn't announce it till May 2024, but it apparently had been in production for 2 years prior to that for all the initial parts and the filming of stuff and getting everything underway. But, you know, that's wild to see that long of a single shot frame in animation. And it's It is weird to see it because you just kind of be like, this is a little bit odd in some parts, but it really works it's to kind of cool. bring you into like,
yeah,
the surrealism of like, you know, being in that environment, all that pressure is literally on like 10 to 15 seconds of your life, which is kind of like the core element of the film, really.
Yeah.
But outside of that, there's some fantastic just hand-drawn art throughout the whole film as well. And yeah, like
the style choices as well, like when they're running and then it gets all gritty because of how much they're putting into it. Like I appreciate conveying that feeling through the animation.
And also that color change after that one race as well with the rain, then going into the grayscale, and that then made the rain seem heavier because of it. It just like there's a lot of thought that has been put into this film and
But even
it
just
really shows.
When he's like showing his running as like a high schooler in front of the girl who asked him to run for her, and then suddenly his vision, the lines all become like blue, and they're all just like this happy sort of color as well. Like every race is so distinctive to that moment, so every moment is different. It's really cool. But watching it, I felt like even if you aren't like a big sports person, you haven't done competitive sports or anything, it kind of feels like when you're a gifted child and you're told you're just really good at this, you're really good at that, and then you become an adult and everybody else is gifted too.
I was really worried about the time skip because I thought he'd become like just an office worker.
Yes,
I was like, which would have been really funny. It would have been, wouldn't it?
It's just like, oh yeah, we're having a little company sports meet later on if you wanted to join us.
Well, that's what I thought it was. Yeah. And then it's like a company meet.
I think it was
meet,
purposeful. Like, so that you didn't really know.
Soundtrack we have to talk about because it's really well handled. Like, there's not a lot of music used in it, but when it is used, it's used to great effect. It really kind of brings it up, and it's kind of like someone's taken a mix between, I want to say, like, happy acoustic music and then triumphant, like, you know, big horns and do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do sort of rocky vibe music.
Scar?
I wouldn't say Scar. Scar's kind of... Yeah. Scar's kind of a different sort of funk altogether. Like, it's kind of like, you know, anthemic, if that makes sense. Like, you know, the type of music you'd hear at a sport festival, but they've made it different to make it more sort of like
ambient.
Yeah, more ambient, more soundtrack focused rather than just being, you know, oh, we're playing the songs that they play at the sports festival, if that makes sense.
We're playing basketball, it's time to play the Space Jam theme for the 1,000th time.
Or Pump Up the Jams. But yeah, look, I really liked it. One thing I do have to say, my God, did they go hard on the ugly cry.
Oh, man, yeah.
Oh, that
hurt.
Oh,
my gosh.
Like, woof. Like, I'm sitting there going, oh, is it starting to rain? That's not rain. Oh, God. So, look, this is going to be quite a ride if you don't know anything about it, which is, you know, what we went into not knowing anything about it, really. We just knew that there was a bit of rotoscoping in it. We didn't realize how much. But the story overarching it is exceptionally well told.
Absolutely.
There's so many interesting characters. After the time skip, it becomes a little bit hard to tell who's who because they all kind of have the same haircut.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just like, well, you've got a beard now.
It's so funny, though, when they show off and you're just like, oh, that's that guy. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, like, the group of three girls on the bench, was that the girls from the high school club, but they were their wives?
Well, I don't think there was any romance in the story.
No.
I was looking at them and I was like,
I did wonder if it was going to be one of them's going to be that, but it's like, no, they're just into track and field.
Yeah.
They just like track and field.
Yeah. Which is sweet. You know,
yeah. I feel like the ones who were at the, it might have been the same girls or some of their friends or something like that. But we'll have to have a look into that, actually. Because
I'm sure there's somewhere where there's a deeper dive into it.
Oh, I'm going to read the manga. So
yeah.
Okay.
I need to know.
Did you guys watch it in English or Japanese?
English for me.
Japanese for me.
Okay, interesting. When we started watching it, it came up in English and we changed it to Japanese. And immediately it's, you know, one of the most well-known voice actors in all of Japan. And it's Nanami's voice actor. And he starts speaking. And I was like, Oh, and he plays Kaido. So when he shows up again later, I'm just like,
oh, oh no.
You're just like looking at him, you're just like, okay.
Kaido does make sense for Nanami.
Yeah. We're like, what if this guy like just wins? Like, what if...
What if he just comes out of nowhere, this old professional, and he wins? Just let him win. Yeah. He needs a win.
But he was so cool.
He was great.
He's like, oh, so this is what it's like.
It's like, oh, so this is reality. I will break your reality and substitute it with my own.
Domain expansion.
But he was such a cool character design wise. Like,
oh, yeah.
He didn't take his glasses off the entire time.
I love
just
that.
Like Nanami.
I mean, I was like, where's he in this story? You know, like he's been running for 15 years. Surely he's been shown in the story beforehand. I believe he was the kid on the magazine at the start. Because at that time he wasn't a kid. He would have been like 22, 23, already in industry. So that makes a lot of sense. But yeah, it was so good. And like every character in it is interesting. It's not just like, you know, oh, this guy's just there to provide color. This guy's just there to provide color and push the character on. No, all of them play a role. All of them compete against him. And all of them kind of put pressure on him to perform and be his best. And I really loved it. Also, Rie Takahashi's in this as well. So I just discovered that looking at the list. But yeah, there's a lot of well-known Japanese voice actors in it, and they've all done a good job of it too. So it's worth watching. Togashi's voice actor is Tori, in Japanese is Matsuzaka, who I feel like I recognize him. I feel like he was in Haikyuu. No. No, he wasn't. He has been in mostly live-action dramas.
Yes, yeah, that's right. I did look that up.
there's he was in the Crayon Chan movie for some reason. And in Shin Kamen Rider as the voice of Kay.
Of course.
So, you know, kind of all over the shop, the people they've got in for this, but it works. It really works. So, look, if you haven't seen it or you're considering not watching it because you're not into sports, it's worth watching.
Yeah.
Like, if it was a series, I'd be more reluctant to say, yeah, go watch it. But as a film, it works exceptionally well. You've got an hour 45. You know the story is going to be finished at the end of it. You know that after it's done, that's it. There's not going to be a post-credit scene of, oh, here he is training for the next competition, or here he's training the next generation. Blah, blah, blah. No. It's done. That's it. It's over. And because you might not like the ending, but it's not a typical Japanese sports loser ending, if that makes sense. Like, I lost, we'll just keep training sort of thing. It ends it in a high-stakes way that feels right, because the reason they're running isn't because they want to win. It's a personal competition between the two of them.
And it ends at the 100-minute mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, my friend
That's
said what that.
100 M stands for.
It doesn't.
Well done. My friend watched it cinema, and that ending bit was like what he said was the best part. It made the whole movie worth it. It's just that final race and seeing them all there was like, it just made everything worth it.
I think it's really interesting as well, because the way, as you said, the way they handle every race is a bit different. There is one race where the camera is angled just below the starting blocks and looking up at the sky, and they take off and the camera doesn't follow them.
Yeah,
it just waits till the race is
over.
You can hear it, and it's like, that's 10 seconds, that's 12 seconds. Wow, that's very short. It gives you a real concept of the time. And I think you mentioned this as well, Tifa, when you were telling us about it, because I think you watched it before us, and you said it was the way they do the noise in the final race is exceptionally well done, because it is so focused on the race, the silence of what the person running would feel.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant sound design.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you also see, like, before that race, there are the people with the signs saying, please stay quiet.
Because, like, in athletics internationally, they don't. People are just screaming the whole time, which is, when you think about it, pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Like, the pressure that generates.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, 100 meters, makes me want to run, and I can't.
When you guys did like sports carnivals in school, what was the thing that were you like particularly good at, or that you would prefer to do over anything else? Because I always preferred 100 meters because it was the shortest.
I was high jump.
High jump.
I was the slow kid that couldn't do sports.
I was always
last to get picked for anything. Yeah, and so like watching this, I was like, "Yep, that's not Aaron." I used to go to basketball camps though.
Oh nice!
Cool. I used to love basketball. You could not get me away from basketball.
No, that's pretty cool. Nice. I did basketball once, and then I did not do well at it because my hand-eye coordination isn't what it should be. Foot-eye coordination, not bad. Yeah. I used to be part of the.
Yeah, I was gonna say, didn't you do football?
Yeah, I did soccer football. Soccer. Yeah. Football's the correct term, but soccer football, depending on where you're listening, so you understand.
Yeah.
I did do really well in soccer for a while, and then I had my knee collapse when I was taking a penalty, and I never played properly after that because I just felt so embarrassed. I went to take the penalty and the ball went off and didn't even go towards the goal because I've got like a inward turn on my knees, and I hadn't strengthened them, and I didn't realize because I was the one who won the penalty. I'd been tackled and I didn't realize it had gone, and I was literally taken straight off after that, like, you're not okay.
Does that mean I get another penalty again, coach? Send me back in. I got this.
Now, once you're off on soccer, you can't go back on. So, but yeah, look, it's kind of funny how everyone's experience around sport is very different. Like, depending on, you know, whether you really enjoyed it, whether there were certain aspects you disliked, whether there were areas you did because you wanted to be over quicker. You know, I just liked not having to run the long distance. That's why I was doing all of the other stuff. So like, you know, shot put or like triple jump or long jump. Jumping seemed to be kind of the thing I went for because it was done very quickly and then you didn't have to worry about it. Because, I'm not a long-distance runner at all. I'm not a runner, full stop. I do need to get in shape, and I have been getting there from the yard work, but I'm still not a long-distance runner.
Yeah, so. I was house captain. I just didn't like doing things. I was just very lazy. They made me do everything, and I was like, I don't want to do everything. I just want to sit down.
I've been elected house captain so they can force me to do everything.
Should have just been like, no, I'm going to delegate the correct person to this.
Yeah, they wouldn't let me do that.
I was going to say, both Tiffer and I did Taekwondo growing up. And, that's definitely not long distance running. that's much more form and
short
function
bursts,
rather than stamina.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really enjoyed that because it's very much on that focus side of things. You're focusing on a specific set of moves. So whether you were doing like, they had what they would refer to as patterns, and it's like a set of moves that has to do with each belt level and different moves so that it's like, you know, you can use these and you can understand how they flow into the other moves. And then when it comes to actually doing, you know, a tournament or something, you can use those patterns to understand how, you know, this particular move could then flow into another move. It was really smart. And at the time I had no idea. And as an adult, I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Actually, now that I realize it.
Well, that circles back to the whole, like, learning things as an adult is completely different to learning things as a kid.
This is true. Sure. This is true.
To know what we're talking about, that's on the pre-show.
Hey.
Yeah, pre-show.
Pre-show, Patreon subscribers,
do
money.
The thing, all that, well, help us buy Lego.
I was going to say, the last thing I wanted to say as well about this this movie was that on my flight home through like Jetstar and then Qantas, this film was advertised on every single one of those little screens on all of those chairs. It was one of the films you could watch, and it was when they play the previews through the thing, and they play like 3 movie previews on rotation to be like, hey, we have entertainment. That was one of them. So
damn, that's pretty cool.
I mean, not sponsored by Jetstar or Qantas, by the way.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
Unless they give us money.
We're Nippon Airways exclusive.
Yeah, we're ANN. ANN. Yeah. ANN, if you want to sponsor us and send us to Japan once
ANN
a year.
ANN is a Qantas partner, by the way.
I know, but there are a lot of partners because they're all part of One World. But still, ANN, if you want to sponsor us,
what's up, baby girl?
I'm gonna put a note to put ANN in the tags.
Isn't it ANN?
ANA, Or, no. Oh, yeah, ANA.
ANN is Anime News Network.
ANA, All Nippon Airways. So true. But
tag them both.
Also, Anime News Network, hit us up. We can do some features for you if you like. I'll do that website one day.
We share anime news. You share anime news. What's up?
Yeah. This is the thing. They've already got their podcast. It's not as good as ours, but it's, they've got it.
I'm saying, what's up? You want to branch into some people who are going to do a good job with your stuff?
I mean, like, no offense to them, but, like, you know, we've been doing this a long time.
And we've got character.
Is that just because we're old?
Tifa's not old. How dare you say that?
That's true. I'm the same generation as Aaron's son.
I'm leaving now.
Yeah, I'm 40 next year.
Brendan's 40 already.
Yeah, I know.
That cake was beautiful.
It was a great film.
He's coming for you, by the way.
Why?
Because he found out it was you who was behind the relighting candles.
Most of the candles on the cake were relight ones, but there were normal ones interspersed.
No, there was only 10 relighting candles and 30 regular.
That's a quarter of the candles. That's
a lot.
Yeah.
But when he got on, he was so mad.
It was really funny. Anyway, for those at home, Brendan, who we've had on the show a few times, fantastic cosplayer, good friend of ours. It was his 40th birthday party, and we got him a cake. It was a Costco cake with a dinosaur on it.
Which was incredible, by the way.
Yeah, actually really good quality, surprisingly, for like $30. We played the Jurassic Park theme on the flute as we unveiled it to him. When he was trying to blow out the candles, a quarter of them were auto relights, so he couldn't blow them out. And he was just like, he tried to take them out of the cake, and then they'd relight in his hand. And he's like,
oh, no.
It was really funny in the moment. No, not very safe.
No, but
we kept on top of it to make sure there was no risk.
There was enough, like, safety wardens and fire wardens and first aid officers between the lot of us.
Yeah, but those are all the ones who planned it.
Yeah, so it's safe. I wouldn't trust anyone else to plan it.
No, I don't know if it's saying that they should be allowed to be in those roles. Anyway, look, if you want to watch 100 Meters, we'd highly recommend it. You might be able to watch it on a flight if you're traveling. Otherwise, it's on Netflix. And it also has, depending on the region you're in, it does also have international streaming partners. So have a look locally, see where you can watch it. Definitely worth your time. It's a great film. It's a lot of good work has gone into it.
And if you want a chaotic birthday party, hit me up. I will arrange it for you.
Yes, with
I'm sure you would.
Exploding cakes and all
and
sorts
lizards
of
everywhere.
Yeah. Kawaii-Fi Radio.
Tonight on Anime Communique.
Great story, compelling and rich.
Nothing brings ratings up like a little controversy.
Alrighty, anime news time. Plenty kicking around. Not so much a controversy, but there is some bad news out of the gates. Studio Kai have announced insolvency due to their ongoing financial deficit. That just basically means that they're running at a loss and have been to a point that it's no longer financially stable for them to continue doing so. You might be wondering why you recognize the name Studio Kai. They did Sentence to Be a Hero. This season's The Ramparts of Ice. Uma Musume Pretty Derby Season 2. New Prince of Tennis, Phantasy Star Online 2, Skeleton Knight Another World, Supercar, but we've talked about a lot of the shows that they've done. Not all of them have been kind of ones we've said, are amazing, but they will play a role, and especially seeing Sentence to Be a Hero, which already has its second part, which was meant to air initially, pushed back, it makes me wonder if this is why they didn't do the 24-episode run.
Maybe.
Because, we've discussed this before, when it was first released, they said it was going to be two cores back-to-back. Clearly something happened. This might be it. Ramparts of Ice is airing at the moment. It was my pick for the season, and Mistress Kana is Devilishly Easy is also airing this season. Both of those are being worked on by Studio Kai. It's quite concerning. They reported a loss of about 1.5 million US yen in its second financial reports for 2021. They've continued
US yen?
US dollars. I'm looking at two different yens. Sorry. Okay. After ending its 2025 fiscal year with a net loss of 565 million yen, which is approximately 3.5 million US dollars negative. So they haven't been bringing in the money they need to through their partnerships. They lost 1.5 million US dollars in 2021, and they had reported losses of about 3.69 million yen in 2019. So they've constantly been losing money. They are a subsidiary of ADK Emotions, which was formed in 2019. They were part of Studio Gonzo, who transferred part of its anime production to them in 2019 when they executed an absorption style company split. So they split it, they then gave them some of their IP, and then clearly, unfortunately, it does kind of look like maybe this was their loss, like Studio Gonzo's loss leading part of the company, and they've cut it off to prevent the whole company going under. Unfortunately, though, because they're working on such big projects, and especially Sentenced to be a Hero, which was huge last season, that's concerning for what the future holds for some of these shows. And, you know, Uma Musume fans are probably going to be pretty disappointed that, you know, these guys won't be handling season three, because season two was apparently exceptionally well animated. Like, I don't look, you can like your horse girls, they're not for me, but I can appreciate how well the artwork and the production value was on that.
The movie just came out, right?
Yeah. I don't think they did the movie, thankfully. Well, actually, disappointingly, because if they had have, then it probably would have been really good. They've done a lot of like support work, so in between animation, second key animation, but I'm guessing it's not been enough to keep them going, if that makes sense. Because, yeah, they've been involved in everything. You have a look at their list, the 100 Girlfriends Who Really, Really Love You, they did in-between animations and second key animations. They were involved in Ancient Magus Bride and Apothecary Diaries for in-between and second key. Beyblade X, key animation production cooperation on a couple of episodes. Key animation for the Black Clover movie, Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, Blue Box. Like, you name it, almost every season they've been involved in 3 to 4 shows, but it's not been that they've been in charge of all of it. They've been brought in either as doing just in between or second key animation, or they were brought in just for a specific episode because they needed additional support. To me, that suggests their workload isn't very stable, which is probably why they've been struggling. And it's a shame, because, you know, we've seen the struggles that, you know, animation studios are going through financially already. There was a report the other week about, you know, how pretty much, actually it wasn't a report, it was one of the most well-known lead artists basically saying that, you know, you can't keep treating the industry this way, because we are going, like, the head animator shouldn't be spending all their time fixing the work of the normal animators. They should be the ones who are helping to do the refined scenes, and because they're bringing in people who are so new and long-time animators aren't staying in the industry because the pay is bad, it is in turn increasing production costs and causing physical health issues for those in charge. So there's definitely something needs to happen there. We've been saying it for years, but we're now getting more and more people coming out in the industry saying, look, something needs to change. And this is just the latest example of, you know, how it's kind of not worked well for pretty much a lot of the smaller studios. So, look, fingers crossed we see Studio Gonzo like take on the IP so they can then at least keep those shows going and keep the staff employed. But it's pretty concerning to see them in that situation at this point in time. Moving on to something a little bit kind of wild. Aaron, The Last Airbender. So the new movie has leaked online. And apparently some fans say Paramount deserves the fallout from it because they should have done better.
So this is a major controversy and people are very divided on it. But I feel like because of the way Paramount handled it, initially they were going to be doing a Christmas release in cinemas. And that would have been great because then the ticket sales would have been a good representation, as well as boosting the animators in what they were doing. But then Paramount decided to only release it on Paramount Plus, which I don't... Do we have that in Australia?
We do.
We do.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Like, but I think you can get it attached to something else and it's cheaper, but I don't know.
You can get it attached to Amazon, I believe, but it's still not good value even with the reduced price. And I think the other potential partnership was through Stan, but I could be wrong.
Probably.
Yeah, so, like, releasing it on Paramount Plus as a streaming platform wouldn't have done it any justice because A, you wouldn't have seen the ticket sales, you only would have seen the subscriptions, and some people already have subscriptions. Some people would have just gotten the free subscription for like a week just to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't have done anything to boost the Avatar studios themselves.
No.
And so a lot of people are saying, well, since they were only going to release it on Paramount Plus, streaming it online for free is totally justified because I would have paid for a movie ticket. I would have seen it in Gold Class. A lot of people are
saying, a lot of us would have went to like cinemas to see it.
I've had friends reach out to me and be like, have you seen this? Because I would have seen it in cinemas in Gold Class. And I was like, I would actually hire a cinema to watch that.
Yeah.
That's what because I'm going to do.
You mean your own personal cinema in the building?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're all such huge fans of Avatar. It might not be Japanese animation, but the quality of it. And
I mean, it was highly inspired by Japanese anime.
Yeah, so. It's an animation about a lot of Eastern influences.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of meshes. Like, there's a lot of similarities between the Fire Nation and Japan.
Mm.
And so, like, it's kind of adjacent, but not really. Mm. But, like, the animators for it have come out and said, don't pirate it, don't stream it, don't watch it online unless it's through the official means of Paramount Plus. Mm. But also, like, I understand they put a lot of love and effort into it, and unless it gets the numbers, there's not going to be more of it. But I don't think they were going to see those numbers through Paramount.
No. I mean, this is the thing. So for those unaware of what happened here, the film leaked because they literally sent the entire film to someone. And it wasn't done
by email.
It wasn't the it wasn't the Avatar folks who did it. It was Paramount's promo team. So don't know why. This is about 6 months before it was scheduled to premiere on Paramount Plus. There is so much time for them to put it in the cinemas, but they haven't. So the user I'm Still Dissin posted two short clips from the film saying Nickelodeon accidentally emailed me the entire Avatar Aang movie. He claimed he also threatened to stream the entire movie if Paramount didn't release an official trailer, and he posted a still from the movie's end credits revealing previously undisclosed voiceover cast and roles. The media from I'm Still Dissin post was later hit with copyright strikes and removal, but everyone already had it in that time.
Yeah.
Within 48 hours, links to download the full movie appeared on 4chan and X, where some users also directly streamed the film. Across the web, fans saying they successfully pirated and watched what appeared to be a nearly finished and beautiful animated film, so it's not the finished version either. So that's worth keeping in mind. While some argued that Paramount deserved to be punished because of certain creative and marketing decisions around the movie, others noted what a blow the leak would be for the animators and production crew. A number of those team members took to social to convey, obviously, their concerns around it. We're not sure what's going to happen from here. This is fairly recent at the time of recording. Hopefully we'll see some information in the notes. But, like, you know, we've seen issues around this before with, like, the SpongeBob SquarePants movie being leaked months before its release date in 2024. Other things. Whoever is managing this stuff over at Nickelodeon and Paramount should be fired.
Yeah, like, so don't go to r/piracy backup and look for Avatar. You won't find it.
Look, we believe in supporting really...
Go buy the Avatar comics.
Yeah, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Go buy the Avatar comics.
That will support
they
the creators
fantastic.
So much better.
I own the entire collection, like hardcover, like the collective.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so good. Do you want me to bring them over?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yeah. I've also got the Avatar tabletop RPG.
Nice.
I support Avatar.
Yeah.
And the thing is, as well, is that the original creators were in charge of this. And if you've seen the live action Avatar from Netflix, you know why they left the production. Because, like...
The original one or the series?
The series.
The series, that was on Netflix. Because it's not good. It's like it fundamentally misses the point of the characters because they want to check all these inclusivity and behavioral checkboxes when they're not taking into account that some of those behavioral traits are part of the character's behavior that needs to be corrected through the series.
Yes.
Like, you know, people need to realize that some people out there are just nasty.
Some people out there need to get their butt whooped by a girl to understand that they're not better than women.
Exactly.
Amen.
You can't just say that. You can't just remove that core element of a character because that's part of their emotional journey.
Yeah,
same thing with Zuko.
And
like,
then
they
you're just watching nothing.
His explanation.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So it's like it's soulless, the Netflix one. Don't watch it. And even though there's a second season coming, it's not worth it. It's just not the same thing. It doesn't have any of the storytelling elements that made the original good. It doesn't have any of that emotional connectivity and journey and self-improvement elements that made the original good.
I actually
feel like that's becoming a common thing. Like, people are just going, oh, this character's problematic, instead of allowing a character to be bad and then grow into a good person.
Well, it's like Marty Supreme as well, which is a movie about a guy who's not a great guy, and everyone's like, don't watch this movie because he's like not a good guy. It's like, yes, some people aren't good. That's the point, and it's supposed to show you that. Otherwise, how do you know what's good and what's not if everyone's just shown the same?
I remember in the early 2000s, we had a string of movies like this where the main character was irredeemable. Like Alfie, I think, was one of them, and there was a couple of others around that time where it's typically was a British production, so it was like a guy who was really either narcissistic or thought he was the best thing ever, going through life being horrible, and it ends without them being punished. And it was a commentary on the fact that people who have money and power don't get punished. And people are just like, oh, don't watch it. The guy's really nasty. And it's like, that's the point. Because the world isn't being seen through those rose-tinted glasses. The world is problematic. We see that on the roads every day, how people drive. People are selfish. And we can't try and pave that away by just showing only good characters, because then people aren't exposed to it.
And people will get taken advantage of very quickly.
Exactly.
Because you don't have that awareness. And then it also means that if somebody's not a good person, you're just going to not do anything with that instead of trying to help them improve themselves. You don't owe it to anyone to help them improve themselves. But if you yourself would like assistance in growing, please don't be afraid to reach out to other people to help them grow as well. Mm-hmm. Like, humans are community creatures. We need our little packs in order to become the best version of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to Morality and Therapy 5.
Yeah. I mean, so we'll get back onto the story. Let's be honest. This film has been kind of had a lot of controversies around it. They recast everyone, didn't bring anyone back from the original because they wanted to match actors to their ethnic, racial background, to the characters they're portraying. That's dumb. Like, I understand that if you're doing a new production, but if something's already existing and people are already familiar with voices and actors, you don't go and recast them for DEI.
Especially when so many of those voice actors are, like, iconic. Dante Basco. Zuko has such a specific voice.
I
can understand them doing it because they're like, oh, you know, those were their voice actors when they were kids and now they're adults.
But now they're adults as well. Their voices have grown up and changed.
Oh, Dante was already an adult.
Yeah, but like their voices have grown and aged over that time, so they will still sound older.
Yeah, but I feel like the puberty voice drop, like, I don't sound like a pitched down version of 7-year-old Aaron.
No, but like what I'm saying is because those people have gotten older and your voices do change. Like, my voice is so much deeper than it was when I was 25. You know, it's a difference in how the voice evolves over time, and that would be fine. The reason they're doing it is because of identity politics, as opposed to for, you know, the voice doesn't sound right, and that's where the issue, I think, lies. We are now, just to be clear, we are fully in favor of multiculturalism and representation in film. We just think it's kind of pointless to needlessly poke the hive, if you will. In this case, you've got a beloved franchise, you have all the voice actors willing to come back, they're all in voice acting, they're all currently, you know, actively voice acting, so they're not out of practice. Why change what works? Why change what people love that made the franchise great? And if you then go and say that you're doing it for identity politics reasons, that is only going to get more people on your back, because that's already a touchy subject, especially in the US. And like, as I've said, we here support, you know, multicultural people. We think Vivi's voice actor for the live action One Piece was an exceptionally well cast role. She has the right voice and demeanor for it. Yeah, and she's so great. And it makes sense that she, you know, someone from a country called Alabasta, which is mostly a desert and based on both Middle Eastern and Indian architecture, would have those traits. That makes perfect sense. You know, it makes sense in the setting. It's not being done for the sake of, you know, of being inclusive. It's being done because it makes sense. And, you know, people are going to get upset about that, and then that's going to continue to this, and it keeps going and going, and it becomes more about the identity of the characters and what skin color they are rather than what their ability is. And that's just concerning, because we're better than that. we should be offering people roles on merit. Yes, there is, you know, times when you might want a person with a certain background to portray a role because it makes sense to the character. You know, that's totally fair. If you're doing it just to shoehorn it in so we've got a person of every background in a series, you're going to run into issues which don't make a lot of sense if you're adapting something. So there's a balance to be found, and no one seems to be able to find it, because it's either they go too far with, you know, including everyone, or they don't do enough and then everyone gets upset. So yeah, this is just going to be another case of that where people are going to complain about it. But yeah, Paramount announced that they were cancelling the theater release for the movie instead of Paramount Plus, and that was announced end of last year. That obviously drew another outcry around it as well, and that's because of that, a lot of people are justifying why they're going to stream it and not pay them for it, because they're like, well, you're not honoring the original, what you originally stated you would do, and you're not honoring, you know, the original,
the Avatar team,
the Avatar team. So yeah, look, it's a messy situation. So a lot of people have obviously jumped on their high horses. It doesn't, some people have made suggestions which are a bit hard to verify, that, you know, part of it is that, you know, Paramount's close ties to Donald Trump because of, you know, Paramount being partially owned by Trump's son, Jared Kushner, means that, you know, there's always going to be someone pushing stuff down. The other people are using that as an excuse to justify it and say, like, I feel bad for the creators, but, you know, stuff Paramount and that. So, you know, well, like, also, there's a lot behind the scenes that's going on.
Yeah, and, like, thinking about this also makes me think about the Paramount acquiring Warner Brothers as well. Like, this is such a mess. And it's not even that big of a scale in comparison to some other shows and things like that. Like, what other troubles are they going to get into there? Because Paramount, this is not the first time this has happened to them. How are they going to keep anything bigger than that as well? Like, it's just a whole mess.
Like, they can't even do a good job of what they currently have. It is just, it's just monopolizing. And let's be honest, like, there's a court case to kind of intervene in the Paramount acquisition of Warner Brothers now. And I think that'll just get way through the courts if they pay another bribe to the administration. So, like, you know,
if you have enough money, you can do anything.
Yeah. So, yeah, we already knew the world's a mess, but unfortunately it's now kind of impacting on, you know, the media we consume and the world that we enjoy. Moving on to something
a little more lighthearted.
No, a little more horrible.
Oh no.
13 Junji Ito manga stories are getting live action omnibus series on July 3rd. I say more horrible because it's Junji Ito. It is horror.
Okay, less political.
Yeah, less political.
Yeah, yeah.
But Tifa, do you want to talk on this? Because you're kind of our resident Ito expert.
Yeah, so it's like a collection of short stories as a manga, which is the Strange Stories for Sleepless Nights by Junji Ito, which is being turned into live action. So there'd be like individual live action episodes, which I think they've tried to do something similar to this before, but I don't know if a live action necessarily works better than an animated version. But we already know that the animated versions have not worked quite well either.
I just don't get how they keep stuffing it up, because it's so obvious where the problem is, and the same thing happens on every production. Clearly, someone involved in it, whether it's Ito's agent or Ito themselves, should not be allowed in the production, because whoever it is causing a problem. And every time they have like a couple of episodes that are really good, or, you know, the first half hour of a film is really good, and then it just goes off a cliff. And you're just like, what happened? Who approved this?
Especially it's such a distinct art style as well, which I don't even know if you can really translate into live action, especially. Like, they get kind of close with the animated versions and then they lose it, but live action, I'm not sure how they're going to do that. But the adapted stories include Love Sickness, The Mansion of Phantom Pain, The Rib Woman, The Bully,
Rib Woman,
Face Thief, A Father's Love, Memory, In Old Records, Pen Pal, Further Tales of Oshikiri, Earthbound, and Tomio Red Turtleneck. So those will be the stories that
the Rib Woman, is that the one who has like the giant rib cage around them?
I'm not sure, actually.
That's Eren Jaeger at the end of Attack on Titan.
Which himself is a reference to a yokai who has a giant rib for a turtle thing. It's weird.
Is he not turtly enough for the turtle club?
No, he's not.
But I just think it's like really funny because Junji Ito probably doesn't even really care that much because he's too busy drawing album covers for Japanese pop idols. So.
Yeah, which is like, what?
Well, you've seen like the comparison between Junji Ito and who's that guy who keeps coming out of retirement?
Miyazaki.
Yeah, I like Miyazaki.
Not Hayao Miyazaki, the Dark Souls Miyazaki.
No, Dark Souls Miyazaki.
He's the one who keeps coming out of retirement.
But like Miyazaki looks so tired and just drained and like he's giving up on life. But then Junji Ito is like happy and he's got his cat and he's like, oh, this is amazing. I love this.
I love that he draws like little horror creatures and they're just like hanging out with Hello Kitty. Like he draws things like that and he's just having a good time.
Yeah, but it's so funny because like you think Miyazaki and you think all these beautiful, happy things.
Yeah.
You think Junji and you think all these dark, grotesque things. But then they're like the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting to see the people listed involved in it. So we've got Yamada, Atsuhiro, Shimotsu Yuta, and Kondo Ryota are directing the series. I don't know if they've been involved in literally any other anime production. They haven't. So they've got literally nothing else that is a live action adaptation that they've been involved in, directing.
I think that's kind of interesting though, because look back, the live action is not done by people that have adapted live actions before. It's done by people who work in the film industry specifically. So. Yeah.
It's interesting because normally when you're on like Anime News Network and you click these names, it'll normally bring up the listing of their normal films and stuff, or at least a link to their profile. But when you go to their profile, there's nothing there. So I'm wondering if either they're relatively new or it's part of a production committee where they worked under a different name or something before. Who knows? The script's being overseen by Hosaka Daisuke, which is Bella Humanoid Monsters writer, and Sadako 3D2. That doesn't really inspire confidence. Inamoto Tatsuro is the script writer for the project. They did Trigun Stampede, Pluto, and Supernatural, the anime series. So they at least have a background and understanding of anime adaptation. So hopefully that will in turn translate
Supernatural,
well.
The anime series?
Yeah, no, that got me as well. Like, what's up? Hello?
Yeah. I'll bring up the details. I'm pretty sure this was like mid-2000s it came out. Mid to late 2000s. Don't know why Anime News Network's running so slow. Oh, yeah, their network is currently unavailable.
Cool. Soldier Boy animated.
Let's go.
Well, did he just buy it off somewhere else? Like, is that what he does?
No, Soldier Boy is it Misha Collins?
No, Jensen Ackles.
Jared Paladin.
Oh, Soldier Boy in like the boys.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I thought you meant Soldier Boy as in the rap.
That Soldier Boy?
Yeah, as in the guy who keeps doing like importing like Japanese handhelds and selling them overpriced, claiming they're his own thing without approval.
The Soldier Boy console.
So bad. Supernatural anime was 2011. It came out. It was 22 episodes, and it looks like it was kind of a weird hybrid production.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been good.
It says like it's well rated on IMDb. It's on 7.3.
Oh, okay.
However, a lot of the reviews say it's not for original fans. If you're a hardcore fan of the original, you won't like the anime because it kind of ignores a heap of stuff from the series.
Oh, okay. Because I have watched all of the original series.
I've never seen Supernatural.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen bits and pieces, but that's kind of it.
I watched the whole thing while working night shift at Seven West.
Of course.
I'm a hardworking professional.
Anyway.
They pay minimum wage, they get minimum effort.
But yeah. look, this omnibus is coming soon. We don't have a official international release date, but at least it's going to be featured on TV Tokyo's Drama 24 programming block on July 3rd. So that means it will be a weekly release. It's not going to be all dumped online. Might take a little bit for it to get translated and subbed for international. We'll see as it goes. And last thing we want to mention is that All You Need Is Kills anime film is shipping on Blu-ray discs on July 7th. If you do want to go watch it, it is available on digital at the moment, but you have to buy or rent it. It's not streaming anywhere. And I can understand that. Now, this is the manga series that Edge of Tomorrow, the Tom Cruise film, was based on. The original manga focuses on the male character. This adaptation is very different from the manga's art style and focuses on the female character, which means it goes back further but beyond the start of the manga. And I guess technically goes a little bit past the end of it as well, depending on how they adapt it. It's very colorful. It's very psychedelic. It's not quite what I was expecting, having read the manga fairly recently. And I think when we first brought this up, I was kind of a bit critical on it. But let's give it a fair chance. It is Studio 4 Degrees C. They tend to do pretty good stuff. So fingers crossed this will be good. We're probably going to do that review of it in the next couple of episodes to give you an idea of whether it is worth viewing. But yeah, it looks pretty good. It opened in cinemas on January 9 and 10. January 9 in 10 theaters throughout Japan, and then it did a lot of film festivals that it went to around the globe. We don't have international dates. G Kids have acquired it for distribution for North America, UK, Ireland, Australia, and New Zealand. We don't have any dates on that for here at least, so maybe we'll hear something soon. We'll see what happens. Either way, you can go watch it digitally, so it probably isn't going to get a cinema release here if it's already available digital. Just kind of like doesn't make sense for them to do that. They're not going to get that. Maybe it'll have limited like 2-day releases here and there.
Maybe.
Like maybe Lunar will do it, or maybe one of the art house ones in Melbourne or small cinemas in Melbourne will do it. But yeah, it's a shame because the franchise itself is pretty fascinating. But we'll see how it goes. I quite like the original story. It was it is a tragedy, but that's pretty much, you know, the crux of these type of stories where, you know, people are reliving moments. It's because there's tragedy or pain that has kind of evoked that, if you will. That will be in the next couple of episodes. We've got a few ideas that we want to kind of look at for the next few episodes, and we'll tell you about those in just a second.
Kawaii-Fi Radio.
Apparently, we're doing a Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode. I wasn't aware of this.
Let's do it.
So,
Yu-Gi-Oh! GX.
GX.
Generation X.
X going to give it to you.
Oh, have we done an episode on abridging?
We haven't, actually. We do need to do an abridging episode because we've also got one listed for doing it on like how dubbing was done for Studio Ghibli films originally, because it was kind of a different time as well. Mm. But yeah, look, that is where we're going to leave things for this episode. We've got a kind of a lot in the pipeline at the moment. I'm just going to quickly pop this down here, which was, what did I say we're going to do an episode on?
Pokemon movies?
No, abridging.
Abridging.
Because there's a lot of abridged series that have in turn led to like more interesting series that came about. So, look, thank you so much for listening. Next episode, we've got one of three things we might be doing. We might be doing All You Need Is Kill, if we can actually buy it here in Australia. We could be doing K-On! Because that's just been added to, what was it, Tifa?
The Criterion Collection.
Or we might be doing Pokemon movies. it could go anyway. Sound off in the comments if you have a preference, but all these are in the works for the next few episodes, and they'll appear at some point or another. The order is just what is up in the air at the moment.
Roll for initiative.
No. No. Now, look, as always, big thank you to our Patreon members for supporting the channel. If you want more Kawaii-Fi content and support us buying One Piece Lego so we can create it for you, I know that's like not helping you get the Lego, but it can help us have it maybe in the background.
In
like,
the set.
You know, we can have it alongside the totally official Astro Boy one, which is by a non-Lego company, but is approved by Tezuka Productions, which I think is hilarious. Give us money for it. No, I'm kidding. Look, Patreon's there if you want additional content. The Patreon members basically help support us pay for things for the channel, such as, you know, our web hosting, our website URLs and stuff like that. We do need to I need to pull my finger out and do the website. I've got 90% of the content written and ready to go in the layout. I just need to actually buy the hosting and start constructing it. So yeah, I've had time off, so I've been able to do it. But that's why I've been so busy. I've been doing far too many things. Yeah. That's, if you want more of our stuff, head to our social medias. We're on them.
We still need to do the social takeover.
We do. And we've also got some plans for some goofy stuff, such as,
cultured connoisseur.
The cultured connoisseur of anime, who will be reading reviews of Mal and giving his opinion. Look, thanks so much for joining us. As always, we love getting your feedback and knowing what you guys are up to. So drop any comments wherever that feels appropriate for you. Join us on our Discord. We are a bit more active on there these days. But don't come in there and boast about AI and how good it is, because you won't last.
You're going to get dunked on, boy.
Look, I mean, we try to be as, welcoming
kind,
and kind
and
professional
and minded.
But at some points, there's statements that we can't support, and we're not going to bring everyone else's experience down by someone else's, self-pitying, self-serving behavior.
If you want more details on that, check our Discord.
Yeah. Look, we like to stay positive, and most of the people on our... No, actually, the only people on our Discord right now are amazing. So, like, if you want to join in and, share your views on anime and pop culture and everything else to do with this beautiful genre of entertainment, come join us. We'd love to have you there.
Come say hi.
Yeah. And that's kind of it. Thanks for joining us, Tifa. We're glad to have you back.
Yay.
We've missed you.
We miss you all the time. We love your smiling face.
Yeah, come back to Perth. You need to move. Come back.
Yeah.
I know you can't. Your work's over there. But look, that's where we're going to leave things. You've been listening to Choir Radio. Thank you for joining us. And until next time,
watch some anime.
You said Choir Radio.
I know.
Did I?
Yeah. Everyone's so cute.